You guys, I'm going to share a chart with you that's going to go with teaching what time we have left this morning. One of the first things I want to do is I want to share a website with you that I'm going to encourage you to just take it and own it and make it part of your life. It's called Preach to Engage. One of the things that has really helped Liz and I in our journey is understanding that we should be prayer, share, and care people. And I alluded to it last night. It sounds like the old assembly band movement back in the days when we had care groups and bands. But when we depart away from prayer, share, and care, we miss the essence of who God is. And so whenever you can get there, brother, that'd be fine. And we're just going to go through something. Here's what it looks like when you go to it, Preach to Engage. And it's free. You don't have to pay to be a part of it. And across the top banner, you see where there's the home, the preaching initiatives, prayer, care, and share, and resources and partners. This is where our movement has partnered up with Dr. Dave Ferguson. And because of it, you can see different things. Each month on the calendar, there are different monthly incentives, and initiatives actually for you to be a part of. These initiatives are based upon always the prayer, care, and share. And one that I would like to share with you today is, of course, we're in the month of October. You know, it's past minister appreciation, clergy appreciation is the official name of it. And me being new with this and not forming a relationship with those of you who are those that help you with your pastoral boosters at home, I want to be able to do that in the future, because after 30 years of pastoral ministry, I feel like our ministers are always be taken care of. Just like me, I've already been overwhelmed that many of you have walked in and you said, hey, we didn't know what to pound you, but we just thought we would just bless you and you can go get what you need. You and your wife can go. That's blessings. And so we want you to be blessed on your level of ministry as a pastor, because I really feel this. I'm saying this when I'm calling you guys to love on you during this month. The ministry rests upon the feet of the pastors. And it's because of you that we even have ministry. And so I appreciate that. And I'm just so thankful that you are a pastor in this movement. But there's something else that's occurring this month. And I forget the release date of it. If you have the freedom to go to movie theaters, not all of us do, but if you have the freedom to go to movie theaters, there's a wonderful movie that's being released, part of this Preach to Engage initiative. We were privy to watch it at the North American conference. And so I want to share just the trailer with you. Same kind as me. And so you'll catch it toward the end of this trailer. This is based upon a true story. And so I want you to be able to enjoy yourselves with the trailer and experience it.
I had another dream last night.
Was it a good one or was it about me?
It was about a poor wise man who changes the city.
Debbie, I got a sales call at the office. You got to drop off contracts north of town.
No, you don't.
We don't share the same life. We don't share anything.
You can leave. You choose. What about him?
He can be dangerous.
What's your name?
You don't need to know my name.
Well, I'd like to know your name. We have sought him.
I don't understand what's going on here.
That's a man from my dream.
You'd be doing me a big favor. Just be nicer. You want to be my friend?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that.
You're befriending some homeless man.
You lost your mind. They're looking for handouts instead of using their hands for work.
I, along with most of the other members, have a problem with you bringing your buddy.
You can tell that yourself. You stand right there. very sexy what you did today. How was it?
Actually, it was kind of amazing.
When you homeless man a plate of food, all you're doing is saying, I see you.
Amazing, isn't it? How far a little 10 or 11 care can go.
Together would never be as beautiful.
Denver changed everything.
This is my story. This is my song.
A word that was so different from other people. But what I found out was, everybody's different. Same tone, different as me.
This is my story. This is my song.
Everybody's different. Same kind of different as me. It's a beautiful story as it starts out. The husband and wife in the movie, the man has an affair on his wife. And one of her best friends threatens to tell her if the husband doesn't. And the husband goes to her and confesses his sin. And she's a devout Christian. And so she offers forgiveness, and she tricks him to be part of this homeless, feeding the homeless in their downtown city. And from that, love prevails, not only in their marriage, but for some of the homeless people. And you have to watch the rest of it to get the ending of the story. But it's a wonderful, beautiful story. Preach to Engage, that's a great website that I want to be able to share with you that you can go. You're about to see, Brother Mike's going to put a graph up there that I like to use for the remaining time that we're together, talking about, loving and caring and sharing. Last night, toward the end of the night, we opened up the two scriptures, which is one, the Great Commandment, and the other one is the Great Commission. Matthew's chapter 22, Matthew 22, verses 36, 37, 38, 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, verse 39. The second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So literally our commandment becomes this. Love God and love people. If we can get those two things right, everything else in ministry will fall into place. Our movement has gone through different ebbs and flows, and a lot of times we've operated under the opinion that if we just preach the doctrine and hold the doctrine, everything would be good. And we talked about that also last night, where there was a lot of talk about looking at the fallenness of man. We talked about being alone. No one wants to be alone. So our catchphrase should not be to us, and it should not be our advice to others. God can fix it all. All you just need is God. We're learning from Scripture that what we really need is God and one another. God said man should not be alone. So if we could just get the Great Commandment right, if we could just do the Great Commandment 7 days a week, we would see ourselves probably prosper on a daily basis in our family, in our churches, in our community, and in this divided nation. We could just love God and love people. So you see before you this circle chart. This is something that Dr. Dave Ferguson always uses, something that Liz and I was introduced to. And as you were here last night, you got a little glimpse of our story, in which that I was so busy being a pastor and doing stuff for Jesus that I missed the most important part of my ministry for a lot of years. And I shared last night, I remember the night I had to call my family in, my three children and my wife, and I had to do a lot of apologies. And I had to make a lot of amends because I was so busy trying to save the world and minister to the world that I wasn't ministering to my near ones. And that's the thing that we want to teach today is near ones. We must be accused of loving our near ones. And so as we look at the circle chart, we see that right in the middle, the bullseye, it says, love the Lord. Love the Lord. I believe around this room, all of us would say, hey, we love the Lord. As a matter of fact, doing what we do, I mean, as ministers, if we don't love the Lord, we need to resign. Amen? I mean, that ought to be a key in what we do as ministers, is to love the Lord. And so that's where we want to build the pillar from. That's where we want to build the foundation from, is loving the Lord. The circle that's just right out from the Bullseye Center, it says, love your spouse. Now, there's not everybody in here, you know, this won't apply to, but love your spouse. And to those that it apply to us, we need to get very good at loving our spouse. You know, I've kept this cartoon through the years, and it was showing an older man and an older woman, and the lady says, "You don't tell me you love me anymore." And the guy says, "I did the day we got married." That's a tough one, you know, man. I mean, it's something, it's more just in words. It's also in demonstration. It's also, we have a thing that Liz and I do with one another when life kind of gets busy, or we feel like life is busy. We may say to one another, "Hey, I love you." And the other one may reply, "Words are cheap." You know, loving is spending that quality time. It's the unexpected stuff. So we love the Lord, and then we love our spouse. And you'll see right up under at the bottom of that same circle, it says family. So you may be here today and you may not be afforded the living life right now with a spouse, but you have family. And so that's part of our inner circle. We're going to love the Lord. We're going to love our family. And then the next one you see right up from that's love your children. Love your children. One of the things that I think I see as a challenge, especially in Pentecostal movements, is that we're very good with the two outer circles. Love expressed in the community of faith, and then imparting your very life in the gospel. We seem to get A's plus in that category. I mean, we can show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and the other nights of the week that we have church, and we do very good with expressing love to the community of faith. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to kind of like mime this for you or act this out. Have you ever been in a situation, it might be something going on in your family, okay? It's a heated moment at the time, not necessarily arguing, because you don't argue, do you? I mean, you don't have conflicts with your significant others or your spouses, but there may be just something kind of going on in the home, and it may just be like really tense at the moment, and then all of a sudden the phone rings. And we got these ID callers on these things, and if you got the number plugged in, you know that that's sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, and you know how this conversation is going to go. And so, you're in a conflict, you're in something with a near one at home, and all of a sudden the phone rings, you say, "Hello." Yeah, amen. Well, praise the Lord. And then you pick right back up over here. We do well at loving the community of faith and imparting our very life into those that we come around, but sometimes we may fall short with the near ones that are very near us. I believe that we're going to sense, and I'm just kind of speaking in general, all right? I believe we're going to experience a renewal of faith and a renewal of revival when we get good at having love for our near ones, our unconditional ones. And so I just want to let that be a common denominator among all of us, because here's something I want you to, that one, if you're taking notes, write this down. We must love God completely, and we must love others compassionately, and then we must love ourselves correctly. The scripture reminds us in John chapter 12, verse 35, that we are to walk in the light while you can, so that darkness will not overtake you. The scripture reminds us that there are three sources of light for our journey: Jesus, His Word, and His people. Walk in the light while you can, so that darkness will not overtake you. So the process of discipleship that you and I will be encountering is that we'll be becoming more like Jesus. And this occurs as we relate intimately with each other and the source of light, and it must be Jesus. And so a lot of times, and I mean, I don't know how you might have been raised up in the faith, but I tell this as we're going out to churches, especially to our Church of God of Prophecies. When you look at me, I want you to understand on one side of the family, I'm fourth generational Church of God of Prophecy. On this other side of the family, I'm third generational Church of God of Prophecy. This is all I've ever known. This movement, this church. I also tell people that my mom had me on Tuesday and I was back in church on Sunday. So I cut my teeth on the pews of this organization. But I learned a great fallacy growing up in this movement. And that is the outer two circles prevailed more in my life than the inner two circles. And so I shared some intimate details with you last night, being raised in a perfectionist home. Maybe that was because of it. I'm not really sure. I haven't gone back to try to figure that out. But I have gotten really good over the years of expressing the inner part of the circle. In so much that there have been times in pastoral work, and I want you to understand, the guy that stands before you today is much different than the PTS guy during like 2011 and 2012. Because Yeah, that too. PTSD. I only thought that happened to people in the military after they'd gone off to war and come back. And then we lived through the crisis of the tornado and losing everything. And then waking up in the middle of night with nightmares, waking up and reliving that moment, I began to learn this is even real when it comes to tragedies. And so some of you might have experienced that before, especially if you've had loss of children, loss of a spouse, you've lost things. It's very real, and we have to make sure that we take care of one another because, as I stated last night, the phrase, you got God, God's all you need, is not always what we need to hear. We need to be loved one for another. And so one of the best things that me and my wife ever did, from waking up with those nightmares or having those flashbacks, is that we pulled in a Christian counselor from our community, spirit-filled guy, pastored for 20-something years and went after this education. We pulled him in so he could help walk us through this. And I told my wife, just, was it 2 days ago, I told you that I had a flashback. Wasn't it 2 days? Last week I told you. I had yet another flashback, very, very small. But I stood there, and I watched this tornado that was a mile wide come toward the city. And then it came toward, kept getting closer and closer to the house. And I'm standing there in front of a big picture window. This is live. This is real. This is not a dream. This is really happening. I'd already told my wife and children to go get in the closet. And I told our youth pastor, he was with us. I said, go get in that closet. And I'm standing there at that window. And I'm yelling at the storm. And I'm telling the storm, God, you didn't bring me here to kill me. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. And I'm just professing to that storm. I shall live and I shall not die. And I'm watching destruction happening. All the homes that's just south of us just being destroyed and just light poles and lights from the football field that we live beside being destroyed and the school being destroyed. And it keeps inching closer. And for a moment in time, I'm just crazy enough to stand there and think I'm going to stay standing there while this thing passes. Because I'm going, I shall live and not die. And then in the last second, my mind goes to my family and we're separated by a hallway and I run and I get in a closet with them. And when I get in the closet and I grab the door and pull it closed tight and I lay back with my strength, I say, it's bad, pray. And for a moment in time, six individuals in that closet was praying in the Holy Ghost, and we were asking God to have mercy on us. And so when it's over with, everything's destroyed, and flashbacks come to me every now and then, and I can literally see that, like if it just happened like a few minutes ago or yesterday. And so I only share that with you because the guy who I used to be would not have stood up here and shared that with you, because I felt like on the outer two circles, I needed to impress you more than relate to you. I just want you to hear that for a minute. And we must, as ministry, be willing to be relevant and relational with people that we are leading. Because that whole thing of impressing versus loving is a lost dynamic. The largest people group on planet Earth right now is the millennial generation. Now, this millennial generation, they think differently, do differently than what we do. And when they come in our churches, they can sense the real and they want the real. But if they don't sense the real, they will leave. Because they can tell it's not really fake, but they can tell form or program versus real. And so in order to impact the largest people group on the planet right now, we must be very relatable with them. And so being relatable with them is getting on their level rather than asking them to come up to our level. We'll walk with them to grow them, but in the initial mindset, it's going to have to be a sit-down time where we can talk with them across the table and find out where their heart is and what they want. Because they don't understand the principles that maybe most of us in this room grew up on. And to tell them, well, that's just the way it is, bless God, they don't understand that. We need to walk with them. And so the impressing part is not catching it with this generation, but what is catching it with the now generation that's in front of us is to love the Lord, love our family, and love our friends. And if we can work from the inside of this circle out, if we can work from the inside of the circle out rather from the outside of the circle in, we're going to accomplish something great. Okay? So, my alarm just went off, and we need to pause and take a break. What I want us to do as we take this break is I want to share a scripture that I shared with you last night. I just read it in briefness, and we're going to experience it in another session that we will have together. And that's Romans 12, and it's verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. I want us to be able to encounter that with one another today before we actually leave this place, to rejoice with one another and to mourn with one another. So I want us to end now so that we can, there's snacks, some more snack stuff available down here in the hallway, and some drinks and things. And so I want you to be able to have this time of maybe continued fellowship. So let me save those thoughts for later and just end. You come do it.